Hello and welcome to the fifth workshop of the year. The topic we're going to be covering is pride and humility. It's hard to believe we're already on the fifth workshop. You'll find the outline on page 42 in the workbook. Go ahead and turn there and we'll get started. Just by way of review, we're focusing this year on the battle that rages on inside of us. We've talked about uprooting sin and lies that we believe. We've worked on replanting spiritual disciplines like being in the Word and prayer and fellowship and worship and service. God promises that as we're involved in these things, He will make us grow. You're in the fight of your life. I hope you've been able to focus on prayer over the past couple months. Today we're going to take a look at pride and humility. And as we get started, let's pray. God, by coming before you in prayer, we're acknowledging that we need you. We are poor and needy, and we need you to be with us. Don't let us grow in arrogance, but as we fix our eyes on you, that we would grow in humility and that we would have the attitude of Christ, who left the glories of heaven and humbled himself even to death on a cross. Humble us and let us point to your greatness. Be with us now as we think about these topics. Guide us by your Spirit and let us receive it by faith. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So you have a verse there, or a passage there at the top of your outline from Philippians chapter 2, first 11 verses. I'm going to read that. Just follow along as I read. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Over the years I've spent either participating in or leading various discipleship and accountability groups, or working on with guys on some level. And of course, over that time, I've seen my own heart and the hearts of others struggle with a variety of sins. And one thing that I might struggle with may not be something that you struggle with. Guys struggle with certain things, and girls struggle with certain things. And although there's quite a bit of overlap with these sins, these struggles can really range quite widely. As I've grown older, I've come to see more clearly my own sinful patterns, and I've come to recognize that all these sins are really the outworking of one major sin. It's something that's more pervasive, something that touches every part of our lives, every part of our being, something that destroys all kinds of relationships, and that distances us further from God than anything else. This is something that will dry up your spiritual life like nothing else. And what I'm talking about is the sin of pride. Pride is deadly. And for you to grow in your walk with the Lord, you need to wage war against the pride that grows up within you. Pride is perhaps the most subtle, definitely the most deadly, and from my own experience, the hardest sin to fight against. At the moment when you think you've reached it, you've most definitely lost it. Pride is a weed that grows in every part of our lives. It affects the way you think. It underlies every motivation. It affects the way you dress, who you hang out with, how you speak. It can saturate even the most holy of activities, so that even when you're doing something that on the outside appears very godly and holy, in your heart it's done for all the wrong reasons. One student was talking with me about how this played out in his own life one time. When the offering came around at church, he had a $20 bill and a few ones. And he had the 20 on the outside, sort of thinking that people would see his generosity, but then he realized that that was just pride, and he put the 20 in. Well, he was putting the 20 in for all the wrong reasons, just for people to see how generous he was. So in taking a step forward in humility, he put the $20 bill inside the ones so it looked like just a couple of dollars. And he put that in as the plate passed by, and he thought to himself, wow, I'm a pretty humble person because I didn't show off how much money I gave. And he reflected on it and realized that he took pride in his humility. This just goes to show that pride can twist anything you do. It can infiltrate every motivation, every thought, every word, every action. Pride may be the easiest sin to commit, and as a result, humility then is the hardest attribute to put on. But as God's people, we are to wage war against this pride that is rooted in our own hearts, and to seek to put on humility, the kind of humility that sent Christ to the cross. So today we're going to take a look, good look at pride, how it grows, or what it is, how it grows, and then take a look at humility, what it is, and how it grows. So let's begin our journey by trying first to understand precisely what we're talking about when we use the word pride. What is pride? Well, very simply, pride is the desire to have for ourselves what only belongs to God. It's the desire to have for ourselves what only belongs to God. Pride says, I want to be honored among men. I want to be in control. I want to have all the rights to do whatever I want to do. I want all the places of honor. I want the glory. I want everyone to sing my praises. I want everyone to want to be my friend. I want to be right, always. I want to be exalted. In short, I want to be God. One of the common words to convey the idea of pride is the word exalted or haughty. God accuses men of exalting themselves. They want to be exalted on high, whereas God is the one who's to be exalted on high. Pride, at its core, is idolatry. Pride is putting yourself in the place of God. You seek for yourself what only rightly belongs to God. That's why pride impacts everything that you do. Pride serves a different God, and when you serve a different God, it changes the way you live and the way you think and the way you speak. So that's pride, wanting for yourself only what belongs to God. Now, how does it grow? I want to walk you through a progression of how pride develops in our own hearts. Bernard of Clairvaux wrote a book called The Steps of Pride and Humility, and although I don't agree with everything he wrote, this book has the best description of how pride grows that I've come across, and so I pull heavily from him. And you'll see a little flow chart in your handout that shows how pride tends to grow. So how does pride begin? Well, it begins with curiosity. You begin to be curious about how others are doing in life or in their Christian walk. Of course, not all curiosity is pride, but what I'm talking about is that you're curious not so that you can encourage them or be encouraged by them, but you're curious so that you can compare yourself to them. Curiosity. When you get a test back, don't you have a burning desire to know what all the other people in your class got? That's oftentimes the development of pride. This is what is at the root of gossip. That's what gossip's all about, being curious about what others are doing so it makes you feel better about yourself. Well, this curiosity then leads you to comparing yourself to others. And in this comparison, you formulate a ranking system. And this system revolves around you. As you begin to take note about how others are doing, you begin to rank people according to how well they perform or how successful or likable they are compared to you. When you see someone who does things better than you, whether it's in sports or music or school, you grow envious of them. You can't rejoice with them that they got a better grade or they performed better. You can't rejoice with them because they have what you want. They are outperforming you and you grow envious. And on the other hand, when you see that you are better at something, or you got a better grade, or you're the better athlete, or you have more friends, it makes you feel superior. This became particularly obvious in my life during my college years, I found myself inwardly comparing myself to everyone. How funny am I compared to him? How spiritual am I compared to him? How good looking am I compared to him? How do the girls talk about him as opposed to me? And when I was outdone by someone, I needed to find something that I was better at than him. It was a deadly comparison game. Am I smarter, more athletic, funnier, nicer? Do people like him more? And when I saw people outdoing me, I grew envious and I felt unimportant. And I lost inner confidence and value because I found my value rested in this ranking system. What about you? Are you constantly comparing in your own mind? Are you envious when others are praised? And you find great comfort when you're better at something than someone else? So it goes from curiosity to comparing. And then from there are two directions that you might take. Neither of them are good. From this point, you could go south and you walk through life with a low self-esteem and no confidence. Because of your comparison with others, you didn't measure up. And because you didn't measure up, you feel worthless. Low self-esteem and lack of confidence is really the result of pride. I'm still focused on myself. I compare myself, and when I don't measure up, I feel worse and worse about myself. When you think about your own life, do you struggle from low self-esteem and low self-confidence? Has pride plagued you in that way? Finding your value and how you measure up. This still has you at the center of all things. So when you play the comparison game, you can either take the southern route and feel worthless, or you can take the northern route, which is just as bad, and we can become blatantly arrogant. Since your weakness makes you feel inferior, you begin to ignore those weaknesses and simply focus on your strengths, and over time, you begin to grow oblivious to those weaknesses. And the more you focus on your strengths, the more you begin to brag about your achievements. Of course, when your mind is constantly dwelling on your own excellence, then it spills out in conversation. You hunger for people who will listen to your stories of greatness, and you constantly talk about yourself. Or when the conversation turns to a topic you're well-versed in, you begin to bubble over with knowledge and insight, and your goal is not to teach those who listen, but simply to show how much you know and to show how great you are. Your goal is for everyone to know how great you are. So you're always trying to outdo someone else and trying to prove your greatness. You try to one up anything that everyone else does so that people see that you are superior. This happens so much in the Christian life. We can turn the greatest activities into the opportunity to show how great we are or how much better we are. Who worships better? Who sings better? Who appears more spiritual in their prayers? Who is more sacrificial? When you're moderately successful at getting people to think how great you are, you begin to believe it. And when enough people tell you about your greatness, you believe it all the more. You really are a higher rank, superior to and honored among men. And then once you really believe that you are better, you expect to be honored. And so when someone slights you or disrespects you or forgets your birthday or you feel particularly offended because of what they've done, that's the result of pride. Because you should be so important to them. So pride festers in our lives. And we could go on and on exploring pride and how it develops, festers. And sometimes it festers even before we recognize it. It lurks around every corner. It can tarnish every motivation, every thought, every word, every action. As you think about your own life, do you take the southern road or the northern road? Both are the outworking of pride. So we've sunk down exploring the depths of pride, and now let's begin our journey toward humility. How do we grow in humility? Where do you start? You can almost feel helpless in this battle. You can feel helpless because everything you seem to do is really just a growth of pride. So how do you even start? Well, let's begin with a definition. If sinful pride is seeking for yourself what only belongs to God, which is idolatry, then humility is simply being consumed with the greatness and glory of God. Humility is God-centered, admiring the greatness of God in all things. Very simply, humility is being in awe of the glory of God. Humility comes from understanding that you have no power in yourself and you depend on God for life and breath, for grace and mercy, for love and blessing and everything else, and you want everyone to see the greatness of God. Humility, then, is basically a boasting about God. Throughout the Bible, there are a number of Greek and Hebrew words that are translated as either proud, arrogant, boastful, haughty, exalted, conceited, and other synonyms of pride. The large majority of these occurrences, something like 97% of these occurrences, are describing our sinful behavior. But there's a kind of biblical pride, a kind of boasting that the Lord encourages. And that's a boasting in the Lord. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says this, "This is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, and knows that I am the Lord, that I am the center of life." In other verses, we're told to boast in the Lord, to boast in God, to boast in the cross, to boast in your weakness, because it reveals the power of Jesus. The only difference between sinful boasting and Christian boasting is who is at the center. Who are you lifting up? Who are you exalting? Sinful boasting and pride has me at the center, says, look what I've done, but biblical Christian boasting has God at the center. Look at what God has done. The goal of sinful boasting is to exalt me and bring me glory. The goal of biblical boasting is to exalt God and bring him glory. This means that we can actually take pride in things, saying, look at what God has done. The Apostle Paul, speaking about the Christians in Corinth, he told them in 1 Corinthians 1, I take great pride in you. That's not a sinful pride. Look what I've done. But this is a Christian pride, a biblical pride. Look what God has done. In fact, the whole Bible is a boasting. The whole Bible is an expression of pride in what God has done. It's an exalting of God, how he created, how he loved, how he saved. So you can be proud to be an American, but not because you think you're better than anyone else, but to boast about how gracious God has been to us. That's humility. You can be proud of a job well done, when it's to give praise to God for his gifts. So really, humility is biblical pride, pointing people to the God who does it all. Recognizing that you have no room to boast about anything because the way you look, the gifts you have, the things you've accomplished are all gifts from God who's done it through you. Dr. Samuel Brengel was the longtime leader of the Salvation Army, and he accomplished a lot of things in life. And in his diary, he wrote this, and I quote, "If I appear great in the eyes of people, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without him. The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, and he used it. And the moment he throws it aside, it only becomes old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this." End quote. When you really understand that it's God who made you, gifted you, and uses you, then you realize that you cannot boast except to boast in the God who does it all. Our eyes are fixed on God and not on ourselves. That's humility. So, how does humility grow then? Humility doesn't develop by trying to think about how you can be humble or how you can put on humility, but humility grows when you're so wrapped up with the greatness and glory of God that you simply forget about yourself. One man wrote, genuine humility is unconscious. Genuine humility is unconscious. And what he means by that is that you are so emptied of yourself and so focused on Christ that you just don't think about yourself anymore. Humility is a byproduct of being focused on Jesus. Another man wrote, humility is not thinking cheaply of yourself, but it's not thinking of yourself at all. Humility is not thinking cheaply of yourself, but it's not thinking of yourself at all. Your mind isn't always trying to think of how humble I can be, but rather your thoughts and your words and your actions are so consumed with the glory of God and seeing Him exalted that you forget about yourself. That's humility. We can easily fall into the trap of false humility, where we deny any good thing happening through us. But that's not real humility. So when someone praises you for a good game or a good job or something well done, you don't have to deny it. You can't say, or you shouldn't say, oh no, I didn't really do a good job. No, that's denying the gifts that God has given you, but rather, instead of receiving that praise for your glory, you give that glory to God. So don't fall into the trap of false humility, but instead be consumed with the glory of God, recognizing and giving Him praise for what He's done through you. Humility is one of the hardest biblical Christian attributes to put on because it is a core idol that we're born with. It's a core idol of our sinful nature. Seek to live your life not so that you will be remembered and honored and praised, but seek to live your life in a way that your name is absolutely forgotten and Christ's name remembered. That's humility. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian left the Palace Beautiful, which was symbolic of him joining the church, and he immediately walked down from that mountaintop into the Valley of Humiliation. God brought him from the mountaintop into the valley. This is symbolic of times when God sends us through hard times to break us of our pride, to see that our life is all about Him. We see God do this to His people regularly throughout Scripture. Think of some of the major characters in the Bible. Abraham, he's the chosen one of God, left his homeland, and then he wandered around like a stranger in a land that wasn't his. It was not an easy life, but he grew into a man of great humility. How about Jacob? He was very arrogant and self-centered. He had to run for his life because his brother was trying to kill him, but when he came back 20 years later, he came back a humbled man. Joseph, he was arrogant, boasting about his dreams to his brothers. He was then sold into slavery and imprisoned, and then he arose to power in Egypt. He was first humbled before he was exalted. Moses, he was arrogant in his early years, and he had to flee for his life after he killed an Egyptian, and he stayed in Midian for 40 years. But there he saw God, and he was humbled. God appeared to him so much that it said that Moses was the most humble man alive. The man who could boast the most was the humblest, most humble. And God used him. Paul, he said that he was given a thorn in his flesh to keep him from exalting himself, to keep him from growing up in pride. And then, of course, the greatest example is Christ Himself. He is God, who willingly left the glories of heaven and became a man. He suffered and died and rose again in order to save us, so that we could see and enjoy the glory of God. You're not traveling this road toward humility by yourself, but God is leading you down this road. Ask Him to give you humility, and He will send you through those experiences so that you see, so that I see, so that we all see that our life has to be all about Him. Clothe yourself with humility by fixing your eyes on Christ and seeking His glory. Let's close in prayer. Our God, we thank you that you have given us the great picture of humility in the person of Jesus Christ. We ask you to continue to do your work in our lives, that we would seek after you, that we would grow in humility, that we would have in our minds your greatness so that we are emptied of ourselves and that our boasting would only be in you. Do your great work in us. Cause us to be humble and gentle people. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.